L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Willie and D-Mace, final hour of the show. Don't forget, you can always listen to us on the Game Nashville app. And don't also forget, bad English there. Always remember
that
you can go back and listen to any portion of the show that you missed. You may have missed on our podcast. Just search your podcast, Willie and D-Mace. We're just like any other podcast. But we got the radio and the podcast. Our show instantly becomes a podcast after we're done. So sometimes in this day and age, people get podcast focused. I listen to plenty of them myself. But don't forget that our show is available via podcast. And really, any portion of any of our shows here on 102.5 The Game. For any of the shows, just look up the show you like. If there's an interview you missed or a segment you missed, you got to go back and hear. It's available to you wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're going to take some calls and texts driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And then later this hour, you're going to hear from J.C. Latham, the first-round pick. Great interview with Chase and Big Joe earlier today. We're going to play you a portion of that. He really got into some interesting things. In fact, one of the most compelling things, he took Vanderbilt to back-to-back national championships in the college football video game.
Yes.
I feel like he should call Clark Lee.
Yeah.
Or maybe Clark should call him.
Somebody needs
Coach
to call
Lee,
somebody.
We need to get on that. Like, we need to get some secrets, something.
It sounds like Latham's a good recruiter.
That's got to be used in the Vanderbilt camp somehow. So we'll hear that a little bit later. And you're always welcome to join us on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Here's one that we want to start with, D-Mates. I know you wanted to comment on this. The texter texts, I'm nervous about Cheeto. If he's not healthy this year, our defense could get exposed. Now, Cheeto is Awuzie, the other corner opposite L'Jarius Sneed, who was on the podium earlier today. They talked pretty extensively about his management program. The coach did. He did. Everything's going according to plan to protect his knees. In fact, the Titans consulted the Chiefs on what methods they used to get him ready to play all of the games. So we talked about Sneed a lot. Mm-hmm. But what about Awuzie, who they suddenly announced earlier today? He's got a calf injury, and he's going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Oh, man, I'm concerned. I really am. This is a guy that I guess 19, they were still playing a 16-game season, right?
Yes.
So all but 1 year, he hasn't played the whole season. 2019 was the only season he's played the whole season. That was in 19 when he was with the Dallas Cowboys. After that, he played 8, 14, 8, and 15. I am concerned because there's an injury history here. And you have injured something that the Titans have been known for, soft tissue injuries.
And he's the only one so far, knock on wood.
He's the only one so far. And it's good and bad. It shouldn't be nobody. That's why they're trying to ramp this thing up slowly. I just don't understand, you know, the whole soft tissue thing. One, because I never had a soft tissue injury. Thank God I didn't. I don't know what it was that I didn't do. I worked out and, you know, went through my regimen, but I never had any issues with soft tissue. You have an issue with soft tissue to start a camp, and you're getting older, and you have a history of missing games because of injury. That doesn't sound too promising. Now, listen, he may get over it and be fine once they get going, once he's able to come back. So he may not have any, you know, sort of, you know, he wasn't lingering issues with this calf. He may not. But then again, this may be a problem throughout the whole season.
He said 2 weeks, and 2 weeks can be three.
Exactly. I am concerned. I am truly concerned about this.
Okay. So you're with the texter.
I'm with the texter. Now, I like that they have, you know, Roger McCrary as a backup that they can put out there, because I like the way Roger plays, and I think he's going to excel in this type of defense that they're playing. But you went and got him to be your starting corner, Awuzie. He's a good corner, but he's also has a past of injuries, a past that is riddled with injuries at least the last 5 or 6 years, and now he's injured again. That's not a good sign. Again, he may get over it, and we may not see this again. But right now, early on, you had 1 day of practice. Or I don't even think you had a day of practice. And you're already dealing with a calf injury. That's not good.
I think it's a theme that they definitely have changed some things to try to lower the amount of injuries that have plagued the team the last 3 years. It's a new coaching staff, but it's also a new way of thinking. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of time and energy onto how to cut that down. So far, he's the only one, but we got to check back in about a month. Are they hopefully on their way to making progress in that area if you can control it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder if it's just bad luck. I think the question was asked yesterday to Jeffrey Simmons. Do you mm-hmm. feel like you're due for a little bit of luck to stay healthy, right? Mm-hmm. His last 2 years have really been compromised because of the two injuries. Next texter said he heard our discussion about DeAndre Hopkins. He looks like he's the kind of wide receiver, mm-hmm. and D-Mace did a great job of explaining the why, but he's a guy that knows how to be crafty. He changes speeds. He doesn't have to be the fastest guy out there to be productive. Benjamin Texan says, sounds like Larry Fitzgerald to me. We looked up Larry Fitzgerald's stats later in his career, and he was a guy that was still effective well into his mid-30s. He played till he was 37. Is DeAndre Hopkins a guy that you could see in that mold?
Yeah, I can, because I
we're talking about one of the greats of all time here, Fitzgerald.
I liken those all three, you know, those two guys. This is a comparable. You know, when you talk about D-Hop's ability to contort his body or his ability to catch passes in this big radius that he has, it does liken to a Fitzgerald or Chris Carter. And I've always said that when talking about D-Hop, he's when you talk about catching that football, I haven't seen too many people better. The only two guys that I have seen, Jerry Rice is Jerry Rice, but even Jerry Rice wasn't like Chris Carter or wasn't like Larry Fitzgerald. It just seemed like those two guys were born to catch a football. Anything you throw their way, you just knew they were going to catch it. So beside those two guys, he follows the number three, the best pass catchers that I have ever seen, like just natural pass catchers. He's third in that line, and we're talking about a history of really good to great wide receivers that have come through this league. And other people may have other, you know, different people on the list. But the guys that I've seen, and I've watched football over 20 years, 30 years, the guys that I've seen, Larry Fitzgerald and Chris Carter, are the only two guys that I believe are better natural catchers than D-Hop. He has that ability. He's not going to lose it. But you got to understand who he is and what he is this point of his career. He's not going to get you many yards down the field. His yak numbers are going to be low. But what he's going to do, he understands again. He understands spacing. He understands acceleration and deceleration. He may look like he's running slow, but he knows how to use his body to accelerate at the right moment and decelerate. He's good at that.
He got behind the defense way more than I thought he was going to last year.
Exactly.
Because, and with a little bit of luck, he probably could have had a few more home runs. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. He was open. The ball just wasn't quite there. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was a couple of, like, right off his fingertips.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's because he's...
But he was able to do it. Like, in my mind, I was like, he's not going to get behind the defense. He did.
But he never was a burner. So because he never was a burner, because he's a combat catcher, he thrives in that. That's his wheelhouse. Tough catches. Is he going to make them every time, 100% of the time? No. But he's going to make them more times than not. Or at least he's going to give you an opportunity to make that play. That's who he is. That's who he's going to be. But you got to understand, you need a top flight number one guy. A guy that can get down the field, a guy that could do some other things, because this is what D-Hop does at this juncture in his career, and he does it damn good.
Let's go to Jason on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jason, welcome into the show.
Hey, going back to those soft tissue injuries, guys, I got an aunt. She plays competitive tennis and pickleball. She's torn her calf like 5 times.
Oh, boy.
And then she's prone. We're prone. During my athletic career, I finally popped one of my hamstrings, and both our physicians told us, once you do it, you're more prone to do it. And the only thing, there's exercises you can do to strengthen muscles around it. But to wear compression sleeves when you play competitive sports, when you're stopping and going, and he says, and then it's still not 100%. That's the reason why when I hear the Titans taking individuals out of either the draft or picking guys up off waiver or whatever that have a tendency of soft tissue injuries, I just cringe. I mean, I'd rather deal with something different, because once they start, you know, I hope he's okay, because we need two great corners back here. I really do pray he's okay, but
you're concerned.
I just know from a family history thing, soft tissue injuries are common to happen over and over again once they start.
So I got you.
Here's the best of luck to this guy.
Thanks. Yeah, let's all think that way. Jason, it's an interesting thought, and I was very curious to sort of hear what Brian Callahan said. They're not going to go to pads for 7 days, which is CBA required, but he talked about doing little things. He said, we're going to go hard 2 days. Tomorrow will be a lower tempo. This is the plan. The other tactic that I'm hearing is that they're not doing a whole lot of vertical passing right now. They don't want the dead sprints, the full field work. They're going short passing a lot more to try, and I think this is the idea, is that you try to lower the chances that you're going to have a lot of soft tissue stuff the first few days of practice. We'll see if it works. So far, Awuzie is the one guy that's been nicked.
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't have any more guys. You know, he's, what, almost 30 years old. And if you're dealing with a soft tissue injury, it just makes me not feel good. And again, he could be fine once they, you know, sort of, you know, get him through this phase of that what is it, a quad? No, it's a calf muscle. You know, that calf, you know, heals properly, but I still don't feel good about it, because it's a soft tissue injury. He's dealt with knee injury last year, in 2022, he dealt with a knee injury. He's dealt with hamstring issues, and then other times he's had COVID. So, but I am concerned about this soft tissue. One, because the Titans have had so many of them in the past.
A texter texts in and says, sounds like a pattern. He's doing 8-game season. So this texter is not very optimistic.
I hope that's not the case. But again, they say he's going to be out for some time.
They said 2 weeks and then see where they're at.
Yeah, you can't rush a strained hamstring or strained calf muscle, because just when you think it's back right, you get out there and you open up and you pull it or you strain it again. So this is not good at all.
Another texter says, I wonder what it's like to go up against Jeffrey Simmons.
I don't want to find out.
I did see a play today when you and I were at practice this morning where he did his thing, that just the rush right up the middle, just pushing everybody back towards the quarterback, and he just ate a ball. Like, so, I don't know if it was Willis or if it was Levis that tried to throw it through him, and he just, the ball might as well just have disintegrated into his arm. Just like, he just ate it.
It was like the game Hungry, Hungry Hippo, where you try to get the thing, and he just swallowed it up.
Like, the receiver probably couldn't even see the quarterback. No. Like, this ball is never coming anywhere close to me.
I know he's probably 3 times my size. I wouldn't back down from it. I'll go up one-on-one. I don't mind.
Man, if you're talking about...
I've broken enough bones in my body before.
You're talking about me trying to block him?
A fan contest.
Hey,
block Jeffrey Simmons for one play.
Always been told, half a man. Just take him on half a man. Low man wins.
Exactly. Get him low. hit the calf muscle. No. Yeah, so, I keep going back to the Awuzie
thing. I have the beauty. I have the vision. Simmons and Sweat. Next to each other. Could it work? So far, so good on Sweat. It's only 2 days.
Just seeing Big Sweat out there, man.
But this is what Callahan said. He's going to be asked about him all the time. But he said, He's not ready to play a full game yet.
Exactly.
So far, he's doing the job. Mm-hmm. The next stage is he's going to be able to practice in pads every day. But I've got the dream. The two first-round picks on the left side of the offensive line and the two interior forces on the in the middle of the defensive line. That's a good foundation to try to rebuild this team.
Yeah, because
with young players,
he's a mammoth of a human being. Just seeing, I think he was in his 3-point stand, and it just seemed like he was standing up for some reason. I'm like, damn, that dude's big. He's a massive individual, and I see why the allure is so great with him, because he has the ability to do something that not a lot of defensive ends or defensive tackles are able to do. Jeffrey is one of them that can do it. Aaron Donald, some of these guys that are uber talented or big guys, but then they move so lightly with their feet. They can, you know, get in and out of certain situations, and they can bull rush and spin and go low and stuff like that. There's not too many 300 and whatever pounds he is guys that can do it. But he's one of the guys that can. And if you get him where he needs to be, or he is responsible and dedicated to the sport like I believe he is, and get to that optimal weight that he can play and play at a high level, then, man, this defensive line can be something we haven't seen since Vandenbosch and Big Albert Hainsworth. Like, two guys that just – or, you know, Kevin Carter and Javon Kearse. Like, two guys that just makes it hell on the offensive line.
And I can remember when Simmons was a rookie and he missed the first several games because he was coming off the ACL. But you put him alongside of Jarrell Casey, you started to see a little bit there.
But Jarrell was like toward the end of his career. Yeah.
But there was a little window in there where they could
play
some
good football.
They played excellent defense in that late season run where they went to the AFC Championship game. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from J.C. Latham. He joined Chase and Big Joe earlier today. Just a great interview. Just a great interview. So you're going to hear that next here on 102.5 The Game. Listen, baby. Ain't no mountain high. Ain't no valley low. Ain't no river wide enough. Oh, yeah. A little Motown flavor. Can't ever go wrong with that. Here on 102.5 The Game. Hey, don't forget to tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds will take on Charlotte a little bit later. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35 with coverage. Also available on 94.9 The Fan app, 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Claude Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
You know, I remember that song so much.
Remember the Titans?
No, it wasn't Remember the Titans. It was Stepmom with, was it Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon? And Susan Sarandon got sick with cancer, and the husband married Julia Roberts. And they were not getting along at first, and then they started getting along. But then they played this scene where her and the kids were in the bed, and they started singing this song. It was a heartfelt. That's why I always remember that song, because of that.
And, of course, it's famous in Remember the Titans.
Yes.
I feel like Chase could have been the guy that starts singing in the locker room.
Yes. Definitely.
He could have been that guy.
That was him at FRA.
Bring people together, right? Yeah. Yes. He was that guy. That's a great scene, too. No question about it. All right. Speaking of offensive linemen, J.C. Latham joined Chase and Big Joe earlier today at training camp. I think this guy is about as engaging as it gets for a player his age. He's only 21 years of age. He's an enormous human being. He's going to get plugged into the left side, and that's really where this interview starts, is moving over to the left-hand side. Very insightful stuff. Let's hear what he had to say earlier.
J.C. Latham joins us on the program now. J.C., how you feeling?
I feel great, man. Day two, made a lot of corrections from day one, and, you know, I mean, as a player, you know, you just want to get 1% better every day. So I feel like I went out there and did that today. So, you know, still things to correct, but, you know, you can improve on a lot of stuff. So.
Did you have, you know, yesterday, I know you've gone through mini camps and all that stuff, but going into your first NFL training camp as a rookie here with the Tennessee Titans, were there butterflies? Were you, like, was it mixed emotions? How was it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've never gotten nervous for anything. This is the first time I've ever been nervous.
Wow.
you know, just waking up yesterday knowing that, like, today was the day.
Yeah.
I was kind of – it was a little bit of butterflies in my stomach because, you know, this is something that you dreamed about since you were in middle school, honestly, elementary school, you know. So now that you're here, you know, OTAs was one thing, but now knowing that, you know, you walk in there and you see we got San Francisco, that's the first piece of the game, and the timer on it, like, you know, it's real, you know. So, yeah, it was a little bit of butterflies. But once, you know, the bullets started flying, you know, everything went away, and you just went out there and played.
So coming in here, you know, you're taken out of Alabama, and I know you played a lot of the right side, but you played the left side. They want you on the left side here. What's that adjustment been like, even though you're just now kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of it? But what has that adjustment been like so far?
Yeah, I mean, true story, when I got to Alabama, I was a left tackle, and I never played right, and Evan Neal was there. So I thought how it went was you kind of put the best player at left tackle, you know. So I'm not going to say, oh, I'm better than – Evan Neal, you know, I mean, I know he's been here for 2 years, started as a true freshman, so I'm assuming
right.
Saban's going to put him at left. And then, so I'm like telling myself, all right, let me start working out at right tackle. So that I literally started training right tackle like the day I got to Alabama. So didn't have no background experience in it. So it was a different type of transition, but once I got my foot wet and, you know, things started flying, I was good. And it's the same thing coming here, you know, played left going into college. So it's just kind of just riding the bike again.
Your Alabama legendary football coach, Bear Bryant, said football comes down to two things, blocking and tackling. You talk about all the extracurricular things going on off the field. At what point, though, will you be comfortable just to let your body, what you do, block and block and block? Is that going to have to take over when you get on the football field, all the mental, instead of all the mental stuff, or does it got to work together?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of different things, you know, but it does come down, especially on the offensive side. You know, you don't get nowhere if you can't block, you know. I mean, you look at all the great teams and the teams that were short. You can point out two teams, the Alabama team that 2021 year and, you know, the Joe Burrow team when he went to the Super Bowl. You know, both teams were – at different levels, amazing, you know, breaking records, MVPs, whatever it was. But, you know, they didn't have the best O-line, you know, and when it came down to it, that's what made the difference in, you know, reaching the top of the mountain. So, you know, blocking is probably, as far as an offensive player, the most important part of any facet of any play.
Your offensive line coach, Eric Walford at Alabama, loves you and says you are going to be the best left tackle in the league. When you got a guy who knows you deeply that way and says the future is so bright, how does that make you feel?
I mean, it means the world to me, you know. When he first got there, you know, it was my sophomore year, and the first thing he came in, he was like, he told us straight up, he said, you guys can put all the blame on me, you know, all the shortcomings, all the errors that you guys had last year, we're going to correct them all. And, you know, I felt like he walked into a unique situation with the transfer portal going on, guys leaving, coming in and out. You know, he only had one real offseason to develop the guys that he recruited. But yeah, I mean, he just took a different level of accountability, and he held me, you know, he'll yell at me just as he'll yell at, you know, the fourth string guy who's on scout team, you know,
right.
And he didn't care who it was. So when you got that type of praise from a coach of that caliber, it just means the world to you.
J.C. Latham is with us, Titans left tackle. And, you know, you got Peter in his second year, you're in your first year. How big is having Lloyd there as a free agent signing, a veteran in this league playing center? How beneficial is that going to be?
Yeah, I mean, it's beneficial for the experience. You know, he played with the Denver Broncos. So coming over here, you know, we're just talking about, you know, how the NFL is being from a guy who's a real vet. And I'm not saying Peter or anybody else isn't a real vet, but guys who played multiple years.
Yeah.
You know, you get to talking like, hey, what do you see out there? Like, how is it? I mean, he went to LSU, so that's a SEC team. And
you don't hold that against him, I know.
Yeah, nah. Yeah. I think they won. I think that was back when they were, like, winning really good, like, blowing teams out. And so, you know, he's seen a lot of great talent. So, you know, being in the NFL, I'm asking, like, how does it compare and all that stuff. So we have a lot of talking conversations. And, you know, having that guy just right next to me and Pete just means the world. So
how do you – have you gone one-on-one drills yet against the defensive end, like Harold Landry and those guys yet? Have you done that so far?
I haven't went against Harold Landry. I went against AK a couple times already and just a lot of different guys. But it wasn't really one-on-ones. It was, I mean, honestly, it was live periods basically. You
right.
know, guys going 100%. So I've seen just the speed of the game. So the first day out there, I was kind of a little caught off guard. I remember we ran the first play, was wide zone to the right. And I'm thinking, because we're just in helmets, you know, and I see guys – just, it's a different type of speed and intensity being in the NFL compared to college. So, yeah, I mean, just having that type of speed out there just really helps me get adjusted to it.
So Coach Bill Callahan comes in here and, you know, a unique situation getting to coach with his son as the head coach. But he's well known over the league of being a great offensive line coach. I know it's been a short amount of time, but how much have you learned to this point just working with a guy like him?
I mean, I learned a lot. I can't – well, not like the day I got drafted, I think I called him and asked for the playbook, you know, so I can get right into it. And that was like the start of something I didn't even know how deep it was finna get.
Yeah.
Like, I see, like, you got one play and you see it on eight different looks and eight different calls and all that stuff. So we're talking, and then it's each call has its own set of techniques within it, you know, and then you got the cadence. So we were just talking about the basis, trying to build a foundation with that. And then once we started elevating a little bit above that, you know, talking about, you know, looking at film with Trent Williams, you know, he coached him a little bit, looking at film of him, you know, the greats, you know, Lane Johnson, Taylor Lewan when he was here,
yeah,
you know, guys like that, Laramie Tunsil. So we watched film on that just to see, like, hey, this is similar technique to what we're doing here on this play. You know, this is what it should look like, and it's being done by a great guy. And he's going down to the intricate of the foot and the ankle angle that you're taking off the ball, you know, uncoiling and all that type of stuff. So it's been amazing. I love learning from someone like that.
How much do you practice when you're walking around, say, your house, and your drop step? I mean, just kind of like, just you know, yeah. Just I'm sure at some point of the day you're just kind of like practicing that. Do you do it all the time?
Yeah, I try to get a feel for it. You know, I mean, I like to play video games to take my mind off of things.
Yeah.
You know, sitting down in the chair is similar to kind of being in your stance. You know, you're already low, so I kind of get my foot into the posture that, you know, I want it to be, you know, just every once in a while, just to make sure, like, hey, okay, this is the weight distribution, things like that. But I try to do all my work here before I go home.
Okay, so college football, 25, you're playing that?
Yeah.
You're doing a dynasty with Alabama?
So that's the thing, because I wanted to stay in the SEC. I didn't want to pick Alabama. They're too OP. I wanted to build up. So I started with Vanderbilt, actually.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, okay. So we're back-to-back national champions. We're going to go three-peat.
you just missed it. But how cool is it, like, if you look at the Alabama roster, you see guys you played with last year. Like, you know, and finally we got the real players on the game. That's got to be cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm so excited.
I mean, you're on Madden, guys. So that'll work out.
Yeah. I'm excited for those guys. You know, I know that's a lifelong dream for them. I was a little bit salty when I was in my freshman year. They announced, they were like, rumors, college football is coming back. And then for 2 years, they never made an announcement.
Yeah.
And then my junior year, they're like, it's coming back. It'll be out this summer. I'm like, of course I'll be. So I was a little bit salty, but it is what it is. So I'll be interested to know what my rating would have been, though, seeing other guys' ratings in there. So
Have there been any tournaments or anything in the locker room yet? I mean, I feel like that's got to be coming.
Yeah, it's definitely coming. Yeah, nah, but we really just play against each other online, no matter you know what it is. We try not to pick a crazy team or whatever, like Alabama or Georgia. We just try to pick two random teams and just go out and scheme for scheme, really. So
you led Vanderbilt to back-to-back national. Yeah. Look at you.
That's awesome.
Nate Johnson, I took him all the way, man.
Yeah, just tell Coach Callahan you're going to be a coach now, man. Here's a question for you. Today is Bryce Young's birthday.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, you're absolutely
right. All
right,
here's a question.
I better reach out to him.
If you know him so well, how old is Bryce Young?
He's 23.
My man.
Yeah,
23.
Well done. Yeah, 23. Nice. I got to reach out to him. Yeah.
Well done with that.
So, speaking of Alabama, Coach Saban announces his retirement and just, like, rocks the college football world. Yeah. But you will forever be able to say, I was on his last team.
Yeah.
How special is that to kind of have that bond?
It hit me in two different ways. I was working out, getting ready for the combine, and I get an alert that said, like, from Twitter, and I never get Twitter alerts, so I don't know how I got through, but it said Nick Saban's retiring. So I'm like, all right, I'm not believing this. You know what I'm saying? We almost made it to the playoffs with a team that nobody thought we could even – I mean, we almost made it to Natty, to a team that nobody thought we'd make it to the playoffs. You know, so I think
I was devastated for you.
Yeah,
in that game.
I'm thinking that, you know, another good recruiting class and, you know, guys buy in, you know, to the program, I think they can go all the way and win it, you know. And then my agent hit me up and he told me, and everybody's texting my phone. So I'm like, I'm in shock, you know, seeing that a guy of that caliber, you know, finally hanging his hat. But I mean, he deserves it, you know. Well, I think it was 7 national championships at Alabama, 6 or 7. And then, you know, he's a great coach. He develops young men, so that's really what he's great at, you know, on and off the field. But yeah, I wish I would have just if I kind of felt that was coming, I wish we could have just sent him out with a natty one more time.
Is it true he, like, when you come into his office, he's got the ring sitting on the desk?
Oh, yeah.
The coffee table?
Oh, when I
such a flex.
So that that was another time, like, I wasn't nervous, but I was in, I was starstruck. I had a meeting with him. I wanted to ask him as a freshman. I was like, hey, what's some things I can do, you know, to be better and help the team? And I went into the meeting. So you had to talk to his assistant first, which is crazy. I never had that before. So I go see his assistant, and I'm thinking I'm finna walk in. She's like, yeah, you got to come back tomorrow at 2:30. That's when he's available. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I come back. I'm thinking it's going to be casual. As soon as you walk in, all the awards, the rings, wow. And it's like one big diamond room. Like, so it just caught me off guard. So I'm like, all right, don't say nothing crazy.
Like, oh, that's awesome. One piece of advice you would give to the 17-year-old J.C. Latham right now?
Yeah, I mean, just stay working, you know, just keep working hard. I mean, at that point, I was at IMG getting ready for Alabama. I mean, it's going to be a lot of tough days, you know, but one thing that I kind of forgot a little bit was that we're all doing it, you know, and sometimes you'll feel like you're by yourself working hard, but, you know, it's other people out there who's trying to work just as hard, you know, so the sooner you realize that and the sooner you understand that there's guys out there who's willing to go further than you, you know, then that's when you really got to put the pedal to the metal and just crank it up a notch, crank it up by 10. So
beautiful. Well, JC, we're excited for you. I know this is just the beginning, and, you know, as we were saying, bringing you in, I think you're going to be here for a long time, but really looking forward to watching you grow and to play. And thanks so much for doing this. It's good to meet you.
And call Bryce Young.
Appreciate you, bro.
A lot to like. JC Latham, first-round pick for the Tennessee Titans, joining Chase and Big Joe earlier today. We'll come back. We'll give you our interpretation, some of the thoughts that jumped out to us listening to him talk about the craft. This is a really important guy for the future of the Tennessee Titans. Not to put too much on him, but you put him and Skoronski together. What would it mean if you have two guys you can count on playing at a high level on the left side of your line for a long time? Pretty priceless. Cushenberry would be the third piece. He's a little bit older, who they signed as the center. Stabilizing the offensive line could mean everything for this team. Stay tuned. Final segment of the show coming back. D-Mace will talk about Latham and also hit on the 49ers and what's going on with them. Pretty interesting stuff happening in San Francisco. They're looking to win the whole thing. They're trying to keep everybody in the pen, and there's some people that aren't so happy right now. Stay tuned. We're coming. Now batting for the Mets, shortstop Francisco Lindor. He had two homers last night. This is his at-bat song now.
I love it.
And he switched to this song right when the Mets started playing well, so he stuck with it. This is one of the greatest songs of all time.
Oh, this is.
Take it, D-Mace.
I guess you say what can make me feel this way.
Everyone now.
My girl. Talking about my girl.
Oh, yes.
That the bees envy me.
Yes, they do. Oh, man. Great stuff by the Temptations there, but also J.C. Latham. Great interview with him. Here's the one thing that really jumped out at me. This guy is only 21 years old. He will not turn 22 until after the Super Bowl, February 8th. His birthday is close to mine. He's 21. He was 17. Joe's question there late of, you know, what would you tell your 17-year-old stuff? He was at IMG. So this is another thing that I think is a takeaway. Everywhere he's gone, he's played against very high competition. So I'm starting to see the context in which they thought he was the best guy. They thought he was maybe even better than Alt, who is, I think Joe Alt's going to be a really good player. But they liked Latham. He's young. He's played against top competition. And because of that, they're not that worried about him switching from the right to the left. I'm not nearly as concerned about that as I was at the very, very start. Because of a lot of the feedback I've heard from different people. We played you the Steve Hutchison interview, Hall of Fame offensive lineman for the Titans who had Latham tops on his board.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Joe reference the offensive line coach at Alabama. There just seems to be a lot of confidence in him, and you can see why. This guy just seems like he's got a lot going for him. I just like the way he presents himself.
Yeah, and obviously we all know what the uproar was. Prior to the draft, oh, he never played left tackle. He never played left tackle. You can't switch a right tackle and make him a left tackle. But he explained to you that he was originally a left tackle. But because of the circumstances, he moved over to right tackle. You had a guy that was there 2 years prior to him getting there. And he was a really good left tackle. And as a freshman, you just want to play. You're like, okay, they got him on the left side, which is the best side. And, you know, you put your best player on the left side. So let me play right tackle. He played right tackle and he excelled in it. But, you know, those that are tasked to watch him, you know, one person in particular, Hutch, who's a Hall of Famer, who does work for the Seattle Seahawks, he said, listen, I had him at number one on my board as a left tackle. So listen, there are other opinions out there, and I know there are other opinions that say, well, he wasn't number one on my board. But I think a consensus was he was a top five offensive lineman in this year's draft. Matter of fact, he probably was a top three offensive lineman in this year's draft. He understands it. He gets it. He said, it's like riding a bike. I played left tackle before. I can play left tackle again. I talked to B-Hop this morning. He and I were over at the facility. He said, man, this kid's going to be good. He has it. He's going to be good. The feet, big body, ability to move around, tough, strong. He was like, this dude has it. And I'm going to listen to B-Hop, who played on that left side for a long time, and he played it at a high level.
And at age 21, I don't know that you're going to see his best. But if he's thrown in there, if he can survive and be just good this year, I have to believe there's a ton of room for growth between ages 21 and 25. In 4 years, he'll be 25. Will Levis is 25. Think about how young 21 is.
Willie, check this out.
He could play. There are college football offensive linemen who are 24 and 25 college this year.
You're right. He's supposed to be still in college.
Yes.
Based upon the numbers we've seen. But check this out quickly. 26, 22, and 21. That is your left side of the Tennessee Titans
from the
center over. 26, Cushenberry, 22, Skoronski, and 21. If this thing hits, you're going to have you a set offensive line on the left side. You hope it translates to the right side for the next 5 to 6 years. Barring injury.
And so this year would be great, but let's think big picture with this, too. It doesn't have to happen because these guys are so young. Mm-hmm. Look at the roster of your favorite SEC team. You're going to see some 22, 23, 24-year-old offensive linemen. Skoronski's 22, Latham is 21. We're out of time. Coming up next, Stillman and Company here on 102.5 The Game. We're back at you tomorrow at 11.
Be loved, love on your people. Happy Thursday. Have a safe and wonderful day and peace. Another good show.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.